come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I am Ron Calgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out, MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and now on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can check out the Mighty House team page for a lot of great companies that can help you out around the house. You need some heating stuff done, you need home inspections, any of that kind of stuff, they're right there. MightyHouse.net, go to the Mighty House team page.
Kitchen design.
Yep, that too. Give us a call, 847-475-1590, and you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And that's 847-475-1590. All right, we're going to wrap up with the Clutter Clarity since you were so rudely interrupted with the news.
I know, Randall.
It's his fault. All right, that's it, dude. You're under the bus already. It took 2 hours, and we're throwing you under the bus. See, that's why Ben's leaving.
Somehow... She needs more minutes in her hour.
Yep. You did pretty good, Randall. You did good.
Thanks, Rich. Anyway, so what started this was an email that somebody had sent me because they know I do a lot of donation stuff. And probably half of you have seen it. It's a little chart, and it's like, where does your money really go? Mm-hmm. You know? And it says the CEO of this charity, you know, makes this amount.
$500 million here, and $200 million there. Yeah.
It's baloney.
Well, you
got to
do that. Otherwise, you'd have a profit.
Yeah, right.
But it's baloney. So I've been looking that up. And again, you know, Goodwill is always getting hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to their site, they dispute it.
Right.
Of course.
Sure.
But of course they would. So I went to Snopes, which, are you familiar with Snopes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
They are fact checkers extraordinaire.
Sure.
And they said, they listed a bunch of charities that are in this chart. And they said, Goodwill Industries International is not a business that takes in donated items and resells them for profit. It is a not-for-profit organization that provides job training, employment placement services, and other community-based programs for people who have disabilities, lack education or job experience, or face employment challenges. They raise money for their programs through the chain of thrift stores, which also operate as nonprofits. They listed in this chart that this email that's going around, they listed the CEO, who is not even the CEO. They have the wrong name.
Okay.
They said he makes $2.3 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
The current CEO has, in 2011, received a total reported compensation of $725,000, which is
slightly different.
It's different. It's still a huge amount of money, but their money is helping.
Right.
And it's so funny because comparing this to the Salvation Army, you know, they also listed the incorrect CEO and they said, you know, Salvation Army, they're claiming he only makes $13,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
the CEO.
On Snopes, what did it say?
$126,000.
Okay.
So
who wrote the article?
The Snopes article?
No. Who wrote the other article?
Don't know.
Because whoever posted that is probably trying to drive business to whatever they're saying is the best one.
Right.
That's probably the one that wrote this stuff.
Right. And it's so frustrating.
To discredit the other ones where people are taking everything. So.
Right. It's like a chart. You know, think before you donate, and mm-hmm. it lists, you know, here's something to think about. And it lists, the good places. Yep. Goodwill is on the bad place. Salvation Army is on the good list.
See?
And of course, it's like, share this with everybody, and it doesn't say who wrote it, where it came from.
That's the Salvation Army wrote that, then.
But people are...
Their marketing team.
Believing it.
Sure, of course.
Agreeing with it, sending it to me. Robbie, sure. Stop taking your stuff
sure,
here
because
or there.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Yeah.
Right?
So what Snopes right. does is they take, you know, a list of all of these places and... Mm-hmm. The good and the bad, because there's like five bad places and five good. Mm-hmm. And of course,
they all fall in different places.
Yeah. So that's okay.
That's your wrap up of the Clutter Clarity segment.
That is.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Should we go? Let's go back to the phones.
Yes.
All right. Let's start off on line two here. Let's go to Richie. Hey, Richie, you're on Mighty House.
I got a serious question for you. I got this house, 1899 at Greystone in Chicago, three-story.
Excellent.
I'm having a lot of issues with drain pipes.
Mm-hmm.
I got into one. There was a trap and everything because it keeps getting clogged, and it's just full of stuff. Now, my question is this. I'm going to start replacing these drain pipes with PVC.
Right.
Do I start at the top of the building, or do I start at the bottom of the building? I'm kind of, like, thinking... the top, so that if stuff breaks off and starts going down, I'll be replacing those pipes and be able to take care of whatever clogs down further down the pipe. Am I right, or should I start at the bottom? Yeah.
You're going to leave the stack, correct? And you're just all—it's just all the branch drains off of the
all
stack.
All the branch drains are man. I looked into one, man. It's completely gone.
Filled,
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
anything horizontal is clogged.
So I would leave the stack, and then you might have to repack some of the lead joints, but usually the stacks are going to be okay. Any horizontal lines, I would replace those with the PVC. So you can check into that, and usually it's a threaded fitting to go into the stack. So you can come off of that with a male adapter, and then run your PVC, and you'll be okay. And I would start at the top and work my way to the bottom. Not only that is, for that reason, is you're not tearing something up. If you do the bottom one and then you try to close up the walls and then you go upstairs and you find a problem, you got to open up the walls downstairs again. So if you start at the top and work your way to the basement, that way you can you can do the work, do the repairs, and move to the next floor down, and you know you're not having to tear something up again. So, you know, it's...
I got another question because, sure. you know, the age of the building and all of that, you can't unscrew these things. They just disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
I've already done some repairs in certain areas where the pipes were completely rotted away.
Right.
And I used those rubber boots for the PVC. What do you think of those?
Yeah, the Fernco adapters, they're fairly common. And on a drain, it's no problem because they're usually not under pressure. If you do get a clog, that's going to be the first place it's going to leak, is because as soon as that pipe is under pressure, those Fernco's tend to leak. But I like to use the double metal band when they have two of the clamps on both sides.
I think for interior, you have to use the stainless steel band.
Yeah. If you use the banded stuff, then you're going to be okay. The other thing is when you cut into the stack because it's rotted out, a lot of times you can take a Sawzall and just cut a couple slots in the threads. And then you can pop out the rest of the pipe that's inside of there, so that way you don't have to use a Fernco. So if it's two cuts into the threads, you know, down through it, but you don't want to cut all the way through, just through the threads. And then you can take a screwdriver and pop the rest of the pipe out, so now and clean those threads up, and then you can run a new male adapter in there with some thread pipe dope, and it'll be good. It'll seal it up, and you'll be perfect.
Got my work cut out for me.
Oh yeah.
Hey, can I plug my show tomorrow?
Yeah, what do you got coming up tomorrow, Richie?
Tomorrow's a phenomenal show. I mean, all the stuff I do with the history and the tours of Chicago and everything, always people bring up Route 66.
Yep.
50 million people visit Chicago each and every year. There are so many people from Europe and all over the world that come here to drive Route 66 from the beginning, from Adams in Michigan to L.A.
It.
Tomorrow I have one of the best historians of Route 66 on with me. His name is John Weiss. He's been doing it for ever and a day. He's written books. He still does tours. He's coming on. But what we're going to do, because I've had him on in the past, what we're going to do is tell cool stories from Route 66.
Hey, Richie?
You know, huh?
you haven't said who you are or what your show is. So
I'm Richie Z with Chicago History and Automotive Heaven on CGO 1590 at 12 noon on Sundays. Thank you, Robbie. You're great.
Well, you know, thank you.
You know, that guy's going to be, it's going to be a real killer show. John is just a phenomenal historian.
Yep. I love listening. When I'm in the truck running around, I've always got that tuned in on Sundays because the stuff you talk about, it's you're not going to hear that stuff anywhere else. And it's really awesome. Cool stuff that you're talking about, so I really enjoy it. And thanks for calling, Richie. We got a break coming.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back right after this with your phone calls and emails. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
We need Randall. Tell him to run in here. Tell him to hurry up and get in here. Randall, I need you in studio. Hurry, hurry. Where is he?
He's outside.
Randall.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and on Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes,
it's gotta
SoundCloud,
be you.
And on HomeImprovementUSA.com.
Turn your mic on, Ben.
Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net.
Come on.
Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you, too, can give us a call at 847-475-1590, and you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Are we going to hit this, Robbie?
No.
We're not going to do it?
We're going to do it, but I'm not going to hit it.
Okay, here we go. So, part of this.
Hardware Store.
All right, here we go.
Do it with me.
Yeah, no, I can't. Not at all. I can do this part.
They got elements of gerbil feeders, toilet seats, electric heaters, trash compactors, two tracks, meter meters, walkie talkies, copper wire, safety valves, radio tires, baking belts, rubber belts, fans, humidifiers, fires, picture hangers, paper cutters, waffle irons, window shutters, pantry movers, window lures, mess, table pipes, gutters, kitchen faucets, sloping tables, weather stripping, jumper cables, such and tackle, grapples, backup, fire, parking, music, relay, test, fumigation, high performance, lubrication, metalworking, waterproofing, multi-purpose insulation, commercial press, connector, brackets,
ribs and air, trail hitch and magnetizer, automatic circumcisers, tennis rackets, angle brackets, storage cells, and energizers, software panels, circuit breakers, vacuum cleaners, coffee makers, kick lids, generators, matches, salt and pepper shakers.
So she goes through all that just to get to the matching salt and pepper shakers.
I love that one.
I know it's the only one that truly comes out clear. Not to say you're not saying the others,
right,
but that's the one you can make out.
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh, now he shows up.
Yeah, he came back. He's late.
Dang.
Yeah, on purpose, he's late, I think.
Dang.
So,
cool. All right, that was fun.
Hey,
thank you.
Good job. You did okay. You did okay with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, should we go back to the phones?
Please.
Okay, let's see. Let's go to, I believe that, Nick, is that you?
Me.
Hey, Nick, you're on Mighty House.
Good morning, folks. Could you please advise regarding chimney tuck pointing on the roof? Is that a do-it-yourself, or?
Are you afraid of heights?
Not really.
So, if you can, I think the one thing you have to watch out for. How old is your house?
It's ancient. It's over 90 years old.
Okay. Then your mortar choice.
That's the thing you got to watch out for.
Big thing. You got to read the bags of mortar mix, and you don't want to use N or O. You want O or K. It's actually a more lime-based mortar, and otherwise, if you use a hard mortar, your bricks can break apart.
You don't want to just
You'll do more damage.
You don't want to go to the big box store and get a bag of Sacrete mortar mix,
right?
Because that's going to tear your chimney up. You want to use a softer mortar, like he said. What was that, N? You don't want to use the
type
N.
O or K.
You want to use O or K.
Excellent.
And you can tell you have to go to a masonry supply house to get that stuff.
Very good. Very good.
So if you're not afraid of heights, you get up there, you grind it out. You want at least a half inch a gap in there. And then get your tuck pointing tool and strike it in there. And boom, done. No problems.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much, guys. Oh,
that was it?
All right.
Come on, that was too easy.
Just make sure you don't tie, don't throw the rope over the roof and tie it to the hitch of the car in case the wife goes shopping and drags you off the roof.
You guys have a great show.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. I think tuck pointing is something that everybody's afraid of, like electricity, but you can't screw it up. You have to use the right mortar like we talked about, but beyond that, if you get too much mortar on the brick, you wire brush it, you wash it off. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
You're not going to hurt anything. I guess that's where I'm
not
going.
Not particularly.
So,
but I think the key there, too, is like you said, is to take a diamond grinder and grind that out. Or guys, that do it for a living, they have a special router that they can cut those grooves out.
Mm-hmm.
But guys that just go there and face it without cutting anything out tend to, let's just say you're going to be doing it again soon.
Right, because that'll fall off. And the reason that you're taking a grinder and you're cutting that mortar out, you want to cut a slot in there. You don't have to get it all out. But one, it'll loosen up the stuff that's already loose and make sure that that comes out. And it cuts a groove in there so that when you put your new mortar in, that new mortar has something to bond to and to tooth itself in there and hold it in place. So it's going to last a lot longer. So when you do that, we can do some small little stuff, but if it's like a small chimney, You can sit there and tuck point the thing to your heart's content. And like I said, you're not going to screw it up. You can't hurt it. You're not going to make it worse than what it is now. So the other thing to watch out for when you're doing your chimney is the cap. On top, you want to make sure that cap is solid. If it's got any cracks in it or anything like that, that moisture will go down in there, and that's why your mortar is popping out. The faces of your brick are popping off is because the cap is actually allowing water to get in there. It freezes and it pops the faces of the brick off. So that's
they didn't even pour the concrete cap. The guys threw some, the pieces of wood that come in your brick, know how they space it all. And
right.
Then, anyway, I've seen pieces of that thin wood put up there and they used mortar on top as a cap.
No.
Yeah. So then, the house is 3 years old. They got leaks in the fireplace or in the flue or something.
Uh-huh.
And you go up on the roof to check the concrete cap and you find out it's just mortar.
Oh, no.
And it's all cracked up because it's not designed to be that thick. And that, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So check your concrete caps. Make sure they're solid and they don't have cracks and stuff or split or broken because
wrong.
Yeah, because all that tuck pointing you're going to do is just going to be a waste of time if you're allowing the rest of the moisture to get into the bricks up there. So, boom, done. Okay, Robbie.
Yes.
So, when you get a new suit coat, jacket?
No.
Sports jacket?
No.
Pair of pants?
No. Jeans?
Blouse? Nah. Sweater?
I don't wear blouses. Normally, anyway.
And it comes with...
Not that I would tell anybody.
A little envelope packet?
The desiccant packets?
No.
No?
The one that's like sewn into it, like with a little hang tag, a little packet?
No.
Rich, do you know what I'm talking about? This little packet?
No.
Ben?
Silica?
No.
Ben.
It's like sewn in there with there's the price tag.
With extra buttons?
Thank you.
Buttons.
Ben, don't leave. That's... See, Randall, I just go back and forth.
Who's going to bring up buttons?
Who's going to bring up buttons? What do you do with those?
What are you talking
about?
You save them for all time, right?
You save them for all time.
I
just leave them sewn in.
Yeah.
No, you don't, because you're going to wear the jacket or something. You don't want that.
So you just leave it.
Leave them.
You leave
it
sewn in.
If you lose a button, you know where it is. It's in the jacket.
You guys didn't even know what I was talking about, so you don't leave it in.
Well, no, that's because we were thinking desiccants, but as far as spare buttons...
Spare
I got
buttons.
Lots of stuff with spare buttons.
It comes on your you know, your regular coat. You'll find them on the inside.
Right. You go,
okay. What's that button there for? That's an extra one.
Right, but
you just leave it.
Who in their life has ever used one? Ben, I'm looking at you.
Nope.
Randall?
He has.
You have. You've used an extra button.
Yeah, that's when he took home tech in school.
What did you ever use an extra button for?
He had home ec, right?
I used to be a lot bigger than I was. I used to pop buttons all the time.
Come on.
He's a large, strapping young man.
Yes.
You pop a button.
And
every time he tries to tuck in his beard, he pops his shirt buttons.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know anybody who's ever used an extra button that they've had. And people, again, when I go into homes, there's always bins of these extra buttons. And it's like, you know what? You've never used it. I'm sorry. You are the exception. You are the exception, Randall.
No, I've used them, too. I mean, I got a pair of cargo shorts that has an extra button sewn at the base of one of the pockets
right.
on the inside.
Uh-huh.
And I leave it. If I lose a button on the back pocket, which is what I usually do, then I can take it off the pocket and sew it in the back.
You guys are really blowing me away because I don't know, and I've surveyed people, I don't know anybody who's ever used an extra button.
Okay.
It just doesn't happen. So anyway, people
Why would you
save them.
Up?
I think most people now just throw everything away. Like, you know, it's missing a button, so I'll just buy a new one.
Right, that could be.
Not a new button, a new pair of pants or
right.
a new jacket.
Yes.
But, yeah, whoever takes the time to go, oh, you know, a button popped up. I don't remember the last time a button has come off of anything I own.
Do you have anything with buttons that you own? Or is it only zippers?
No, I have button things.
You do have button
I honestly
things?
Don't remember. Trixie, do you remember the last time a button has popped off anything you own?
Mm-hmm.
She does.
She does.
And did you find the button that popped off or you had to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't necessarily go through that big jar that's sitting there taking
she
up.
She also saves the other buttons, so she knows.
But that's the way, that's
have you
Trixie.
Ever broken a button?
Yes.
Peggy's here. Peggy. Have you ever saved?
Early.
Do you save all of those buttons?
See, she's.
And do you ever go and? Here she comes. Thank you very much.
It's Button House.
So.
It button talk.
Button talk.
So you've saved all. You have a big jar of buttons in your house.
No.
What do you have?
It's thrown into a very large Ziploc bag, and then just kind of some in the drawers, some here, some.
Yeah, some everywhere. Yeah. And have you ever searched and go, oh, darn, the button fell off this jacket. I need to find that.
Every once in a while, usually on a coat.
Really? And you found that button?
On an overcoat.
Yeah.
But if you leave them where the manufacturer put them, they're easy to find. It's on the inside of the coat that's missing the button on the front.
If it's on a coat, yes.
You take them off, then you've got to go look for it.
If it's on something that goes into the washing machine, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. No problem.
I've never
throw
had
it
a
in there.
Reason to leave it on. You know, it's always like hanging on a sleeve or it's hanging somewhere where it's going
to
scratch.
Tends to be like here sometimes, inside.
I think you guys are buying some fancy stuff. That doesn't come on my gimme t-shirts that you got.
Because t-shirts there are don't
no
buttons.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more phone calls and emails and button talk.
No more button talk.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is plugged. Randall, there we go. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live as long as Randall lets us at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com, and on Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you've got one segment left. This is it. The last 15 minutes of the show, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And again, 847-475-1590. Trixie's awaiting your phone call. Call Trixie and say hi. Oh, and wait, we've got a Mudfest thing going on. We're not trying to get people to donate, right?
Yes, you have about another 20 minutes to donate. And Jeff from DDS Design Services, Kitchen Remodeling, mm-hmm. Kitchen Design, is going to match up to $50.
So go there. Go to the Mighty House team page.
Yes.
Or yes. MightyHouse.net. You can go to the Facebook page, the Twitter page. There's links to Robbie's Muck Fest page to make a donation and mm-hmm. have to be made on her page. That way she gets credit for it. $5.
Yeah.
A dollar. Whatever it
right.
is. Whatever you can afford.
Yeah.
And it all goes to help
raise funds to cure MS.
Excellent. To
Thank
find
you
a
very
cure.
Much. Thank you.
And what is Muckfest?
Oh.
What is that?
Running it's a
5K run of, there's like 13 different obstacles you have to get through in the mud.
In the mud?
It's
a 5K
horrible.
Walk?
it's a 5K, yeah, because walk and cry.
Well, you don't have to run it. That's
walk
optional.
And cry.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to do the obstacles either.
Walk and cry?
That's Yeah, that's what I did last year.
It's a walk and cry through the mud.
Do this.
How many obstacles were there?
13.
How many did you do? How many obstacles did you actually accomplish?
She accomplished one. It was the getting up and going.
I maybe did
the major obstacle.
Five.
Going.
Maybe I did five.
Five of them?
Come on.
Really?
Can we change the subject? Anybody
no.
need to call 847-475-1590?
No.
Come
I mean,
on. No, I'm going to find an email.
So...
Chimney
so,
wall. Look, an email about a chimney
well,
wall.
And so we're you gonna, know, in New York, the yeah. building boom's going on, so now they had to start a task force because of the fake OSHA 10-hour cards.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're on a big project, and, you know, even the city of Chicago is kind of like that, you know,
right.
you got to have your OSHA training.
Right.
So, yeah, apparently there are a lot of those out there that are, you know, counterfeit.
Oh,
counterfeit OSHA cards.
Really?
Yeah, only in America, baby.
I do really have an email.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well, wait a minute. Let me see.
Okay.
Are we sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we, how sure are we?
Very sure.
That you have an email or?
Email. Sing it, Rich.
We get your email.
We get your emails all the time.
Yay, Rich. You make me so happy.
Except I had the words wrong as usual.
My plaster wall over the very old unused chimney has a small area that the paint flakes off.
Consistently.
What can I use? Doesn't say that.
I'm going to say that.
What can I use to cover the area before I repaint? I'm sure it's moisture from the old brick, but I don't plan on tearing the plaster down. Love the show. Thank you, Kathy.
So that kind of ties in perfectly with our tuck pointing thing we were talking about.
That's probably why she emailed.
Yep. So the moisture in the fireplace, it's seeping through. If you've got plaster applied directly to that, you've got some issues there. That moisture is always going to want to come through. The only way to do mm-hmm. that would be to build it out, insulate it, rewrap it, frame it, and drywall it again. You need to.
That sounds like a lot of work.
To redo it. The only way to fix it would be to redo it.
You would have to put a sealer on there, like some 1x2s and drywall over it, and you'd have to make a little notch in the wall, or you'd have to redo the entire wall. No matter what you put on there, that moisture inside is always going to push its way out. You can check the chimney, make sure that the chimney is sealed up properly. If you put a chimney liner in, that might solve the problem. I would talk to your HVAC guy and see what he's got available.
It would definitely help.
So a chimney liner.
But I would actually just roll on contact cement and put quarter inch drywall over it.
Rich says roll on contact cement and put what? A quarter inch drywall on it?
Yeah, you can buy quarter inch drywall and laminate the wall. That'll help
right.
with the peeling
right.
sort of thing. But the moisture will still keep coming through. So
it's you got to stop the moisture. And that the only way to stop that moisture is to. Check your,
I think
make
the
sure
flue liner is really the big one.
Yeah. Make sure your tuck pointing is good. Make sure your chimney cap is good. If all that mm-hmm. is good, you may need a chimney liner.
Right.
And that might stop your
Who do you call to check your tuck pointing?
A tuck pointer?
You call a lot of chimney sweeps can do both.
Yep.
Both the chimney, you know, and the flue liner, all that. Yep. So
your chimney sweep will be a good one. You know my favorite chimney sweep. You know what my favorite chimney sweep is? He's out in the Lincolnshire Libertyville area. The name of the company.
What was it, guys? What?
It's
what
was it? I'm gonna spell it for you. ASHWIPE. Ash wipe.
Is he an ash wipe?
Yes. All right. Let's go to the phones and talk to Bob in Chicago. Hey, Bob, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, kids, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. How you doing, Bob?
I'm nosing around trying to figure out how I can donate to Robbie's charity, and you got me fumbling with Facebook here and the Mighty House page. And I'm working without teenage supervision here.
So okay. Do you?
They just mail you.
Do you have an email address?
Yeah, I do. Oh, okay.
And I will email you the link.
Oh, so yeah, that's another. If you don't have Facebook or that, email Robbie at mightyhouse.net. Robbie.
Okay, I do have Facebook, but I don't have the training manual on how to navigate it.
Well, give me your email, and I'll send it to you right now.
Okay, I was going to send you. Oh, it's Dansbro, Dansbro.
At gmail.com?
At Yahoo.
Oh.
Yahoo.
Now he's going to get a bunch of people sending him.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think our listeners are that bad.
Oh, more Trump alerts. That's great, fellas.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. And I had an article from an old New York Times that was going to actually mail Robbie using an actual stamp on
that would work.
Why it's good not to be a hoarder?
Why not to be a hoarder?
Yeah, and how to be a hoarder remediator? How to be a?
Oh yeah, send me that. Yeah.
Okay, I got some forever stamps left. Well, anyway, congratulations on your impending syndication and sharing home repair with the rest of the planet. That's
yeah,
cool.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Bob.
We're hoping.
Yeah, send me that, please. Oh, you know what? I'll send you the address. When I email you, I'll send you my address.
Is there? All right.
Well, maybe he's gone. Send it to him. Okay,
all right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
All right. And again, if you want to make a donation, Robbie's Muckfest, Robbie at mightyhouse.net, R-O-B-B-I-E, at mightyhouse.net. Email her. She will email you a link back, and then you can make your donation that way.
Awesome.
Because hey, Rich, it's a long link to get to it.
If you ever want to cut your hair off again,
yeah,
we could raise money for the St. Baldrick's
Foundation. I can't afford that again. That cost dearly.
Worked out all right. Yeah. It didn't grow back thicker and darker, I can assure you that.
Well, you know, we'll try. I think this is the year that it's going to grow back thicker and darker.
Is
so,
that
yeah,
what it is?
I don't think so.
If you want to do that again, that would be fun.
Okay. All right.
Well, it was fun.
Cool. What else you got for us, Robbie?
Sorry, I'm trying to paste this link.
We got to fill like 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes.
Five minutes?
No,
nothing.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I'm sorry because I'm trying to paste this link.
Okay, so then we're going to talk.
There we go, paste.
Rich and I will talk about what we want to talk about, and that is.
Yeah, we're going to talk about construction.
Constructing a box to put on your head for the eclipse.
Yes, that's what my sister said she's going to do.
Okay, Rich.
Yeah, so I just posted to the Facebook page, which is a repost, but it's a Time magazine thing from like 2015. But it's a story about in 1963 or whatever, when one of the other eclipses, and it was a whole group of kids in the Chicagoland area who you take a cardboard box and you cut a hole in it big enough for your head.
Okay.
Then at the opposite end of that box, you tape in a piece of white paper.
Okay.
And then like say to the left or right of your head, you put a hole in the box so that you can project the sun to the far end of the box onto the white paper, and then you can view it. So it's a picture of the Time magazine pictures in there from the 60s with all this classroom of kids with these boxes on their head. So, and then to make it sharper, you cut like a 1-inch square in the box, and you put a piece of tin foil there, and then put the pin through the tin foil, and that will be even better.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, see, I'm fortunate. I have a nice telescope with a clock drive.
Oh, really?
So I can follow the whole thing and project it, except I can't find my lenses. They've been missing since I moved.
Yeah. See, I was just going to get my welding helmet out, and I thought I could watch it by wearing my welding helmet.
No.
Yeah.
No, to be honest with you, you'd be amazed. It's actually a lot more comfortable. I mean, you literally, all you need is a piece of paper with a hole in it or a piece of cardboard. You don't need to get crazy. I mean, you literally, like, you know, a legal pad or anything.
Right.
Like this, you could just, like my little legal pad, you could put a hole through this cardboard.
Right.
And then you just stand there and create a shadow on a piece of paper.
Okay.
With that, and you project it. You don't need all kinds of crazy stuff. And you'll see the moon transition across the sun. So it's no big deal. It's not the, it'd be the first total if I actually went north.
Right.
We only get 80%. That's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I mean, I get the whole thing. I mean, you know, I'm probably into more astronomy than most people. So it's like.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And if I could bail out of work, I'd love to run down to Carbondale and go check it out. That's like a 4 or 5 hour drive or something like that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the thing. Like me, I don't know. I mean, as much as I'd like to go, my place would be probably go to Nashville to watch it.
Yeah, excellent. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Mike Novak next. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Podcasting. Are we broadcasting?
Ellen?
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net.
Mike.
See, what you have to do, Randall, is you turn everybody else off, and you only leave my mic on when we do the rejoins.
Ellen,
so that way,
Ellen,
people can actually hear.
Ellen.
Ellen.
Mike.
Oh, God.
I think this is the truest representation of the room right now. So.
If people want to sample Mighty House on the Gab Radio Network.
Listen in right
start
now.
Start at 10:49. This is when you start.
Yeah,
and of course, Rich goes hiding in the corner.
Right, that's it. No, there we need to hear Rich now. Can you pot him up there? Now try it, Rich.
What?
There
yeah.
we go.
What?
Yeah, you got it. All right.
What happened to Ben? He used to know how to do all this stuff.
What? He's bailing
he's
on
teaching
us.
Teaching Randall.
Yeah.
So as he teaches, he forgets everything that he's doing.
Either that, or he's had way too many donuts in there because there's one left in the box.
Okay, so Mike.
It's a priority shift.
When people are in the military and they're getting ready to be shipped out, go to the next job, we call that getting short. And that's when you just don't care anymore because you know you're leaving and getting shipped to a new base.
Yeah.
He's short. He knows he's leaving. He doesn't care anymore. Oh, and he's bailing on us.
Oh, no. That's senioritis. Like when you're in high school and college and last semester, you really don't give a rip.
Right. And
unless you're shooting for a 4.0. I don't think anybody in this room was shooting for a 4.0.
Okay. No.
Just a piece of paper would have worked.
Yeah. So, okay. I posted up a picture on the Facebook and the Twitter.
Uh-huh. I saw it.
Powdery mildew. I'm losing my pumpkin plants and some of my squash stuff. What do I do about this? It comes back every year, and I've even moved them to a different part of the yard thinking that might do it, but it's like, boom.
Actually, Peggy had the expert on last week, Chris Beiser.
Beiser.
From the Chicago Botanic Garden, and I heard his advice. You're not going to want to hear this. His advice was basically, not a whole lot you can do right now. See, the problem with powdery mildew is once it starts and it takes over your plant, you're kind of done. I mean, you're supposed to get to it the first spot, the first time you see it anywhere on a leaf, and then there are some products you can use, or fungicides or
copper.
Or copper or whatever you want to use to knock it back. Once it takes over the plant, there's really not a lot you can do.
Or plants, plural?
Does
it kill the plants or does it just make them
No, it kills them.
Well, eventually it kills them. It depends. It depends on the plant. See, if it's on a shrub or a perennial, usually it doesn't kill it, and the plant will recover, and next year it'll start out fresh again. The problem is you got those spores around there. You want to clean up the area, but on an annual, like a vegetable, you really want to clean up that area and get those leaves out of there. One of the ideas is when you first start to see it on a plant, get the leaves, cut those leaves off that have it. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to defoliate the whole plant.
He's at that stage.
Yeah.
Just go Mr. T on the thing and just chop it down.
Well,
right?
if you start to see fungus on your plant, you can take the worst leaves off, and that keeps it back. You know, it slows it down. Let me put it that way. It slows it down a little bit. So, do you have pumpkins?
Yeah.
So
Of them are already turning orange.
Well, there you go. They're going to make it probably because there will be enough photosynthesis going on through the leaves, even with the powdery mildew, that those pumpkins should get through okay. It's not going
to
get
wash
better.
Wash the leaves right next to the pumpkins.
You what?
Soap and water. Wash soap the leaves.
You know, and some people talk about remedies like that. There are all kinds of remedies out there.
There's mouthwash and something
mouthwash,
else.
Mouthwash, exactly. I've seen the mouthwash.
It didn't work.
Vinegar. But the problem with some of these products is that they can hurt your plant as well.
Yeah.
So are you leaving us, Rob? Are you, Robbie?
Yeah, she got here late, so she's leaving early.
Oh.
Yeah, she was a minute early.
Do you need to duck out? If you need to duck out, I won't tell anybody. Nobody's listening anyway.
Robbie's not leaving.
I can get out while you guys talk because all I ever say at the end is until next Saturday.
Well, that's true. We can record that part.
And you can say that in your car.
Yeah, until next Saturday. Well, Robbie, would you like to contribute? Grab a microphone.
No,
say something about.
She has to go to work.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Robbie.
She's got things to do, people to see.
Come on, you guys.
Nice seeing you, Robbie. Thanks for coming in today.
Bye, Robbie.
Bye, Robbie.
See you next week.
Until next Saturday.
Love you. Yes, we'll record that until next Saturday part, and we'll just throw it in there. Okay. Bye, Robbie.
Don't worry. We don't have a meeting after the show or anything, so we won't be talking about anything important.
Ellen.
Okay. See? That's it.
There's a lot of goofy treatments that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they might work or you might kill your plant. And that's what happens when you use the home remedies. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know how much you're putting in there? Most of the time, the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for grandma. Grandma got it right once, and then she passed it down. What she didn't tell you is that the other 17 times she tried it, she killed the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with powdery mildew, it's basically prevention. Air circulation.
I was just going to ask that. Is there something you can do to the soil in the spring before you plant your seed to prep the soil? Will it kill off the spores?
It's actually more, the way you do that is you clean it up in the fall. You don't just let the plant sit there. If it's got powdery mildew, get it out of there and throw it in the garbage, not in your compost.
Don't put it in your compost.
Right. Do not put it in your compost pile. Anything that has a disease, do not put in your compost pile.
Well, there's the problem.
That's half of his garden.
Yeah, get it out of there.
I just leave it sitting there.
And don't mow it like you usually do because now you're just spreading. Yeah, see, he's nodding.
You're just spreading it.
He's spreading
now you're
the
spreading
spores
the spores
all over
see?
The place.
Feed it to the Marshall strawberries
this year,
or something.
This year, just cut those plants off at the base. Once you've got your pumpkins,
right,
throw them in the garbage. And I hate telling people to put the organic material in the garbage, but sometimes you have to. This is the only way to deal with it. Get it out of there.
You could burn it, but it's the same difference.
I guess. And the other thing is air circulation and full sun.
Okay.
Shade contributes to this problem as well.
Cool.
And by the way, we're talking eclipse. Oh, my goodness. I'm going down to Southern Illinois on tomorrow and then for the eclipse on Monday.
Excellent.
And I'm just terrified that I will get stuck in a traffic jam and miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
That could be a distinct possibility.
I know. That's what I'm hearing about. I'm just terrified about it.
Excellent. But what better place to do it?
Anyway, we've got a NASA scientist on the show today talking about it. It's cool.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Well, stay tuned for the Mike Novak Show coming up next. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and at HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you want the newsletter, sign up at MightyHouse.net. Just click on the Contact Us page, and you'll get taken care of right there. Next week, we'll have another Mighty House Tip of the Week and Clutter Clarity. In between that, we'll be taking your phone calls and emails. Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you guys all tuning in and calling in and sending us the emails. 60 seconds.
And now he's stretching.
Ellen.
Ellen.
Okay, so who do we have on Sunday since he's got 40 seconds for us?
Well, on Sunday, we've got Michelle Hoffman, who's just came back from Florida, down in your neck of the woods, and she was diving off the coast and discovering microorganisms in there. And we're going to talk about a factory farm thing. So.
Excellent. For Rich Calgill, Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Calgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
Ellen.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production.
Mighty House.